Hi, I'm Mike.
Hi.
I'm the speaker getter for this meeting. I would like to ask you all to please give a very, very warm Al-Anon 7 o'clock Let's Rock welcome to Maria L.G. from Temple City.
Hi, everybody. My name is Maria, and I do use L.G. because there's so many Maria G's, you know, and I want to be, you know, different. So, anyway, thank you, Mike, for asking me to speak, and congratulations to all the birthdays, and to the newcomer, welcome. We always say don't leave until the miracle, no, not even until the miracle, stay until the miracle happens, or something like that. But we also say, if you decide to leave, we refund you your misery. Anyway, okay, you know, this meeting is really big. My mouth is all dry right now, but I have some water. And I thought maybe half of you could leave and go out and talk out there, and then part two could come in for the recovery. Anyway, okay, so I am to tell you what it was like, how I got here, and what it's like today. So, anyway, all right, now let me see. Oh, and I brought my service manual, just in case we all get bored, I'll start reading it. And, a couple of sections, you know, if I need to clarify anything for you guys. Anyway, love the way you do the birthdays. Anyway, okay, so I was born to, I'm going to say, a typical Hispanic family of six, you know, because we come in numbers, you know. I always go, you know, that El Nino that we've been threatened with. Well, there's, don't forget, there's the Nina and the Prima and everybody else and the cousins and everything else, so be careful. But anyway, my mom and dad came here from Mexico very young. And my dad, you know, probably as a kid, and my mother was older, and my mother was orphaned, and they met at a church, and so they fell in love. They used to sing. He played the guitar. Isn't that romantic? So far, so good, huh? Yeah. So got married and had all these little kids, you know, which was fun. And you know what? We weren't, let's see. Somebody said we were poor, but I don't think we were poor at all. You know, we had homemade cooking, fresh. My mom would go to the grocery store and make us fresh food. Now, how wrong could that be? So anyway, we seemed to get along. Everything seemed normal, right? I mean, you know, six kids and three kids in a bed, that seems okay too. And anyway, so it was a good life that I remember, you know, as I recall. And one day I happened to notice, I was only 10, and I happened to notice that when we have gatherings, you know, as somebody put it one time, kids and kegs, you know, the kids are all there and everybody's drinking and, you know, and having a good time. And I noticed the personality changing, you know, from my father. And my mother didn't drink yet. You know, she was a fabulous cook. And, you know, I just really admired her for that. And I kind of liked all the relatives over and friends, but I do remember that. And so I remember that. I was probably about 10. So moving right along, years later, my dad's working hard, and, you know, my mom's wonderful at service. I learned service from her in all areas, church, school. And so she started drinking. And so I thought, oh, no, you know, and I noticed that. And it was, you know, late afternoon drinking, you know, but after dinner was finished, et cetera, you know. So making a long story short, they both got into drinking pretty heavy. You know, I always used to say my mom cooks with sherry and sometimes she puts it in the food, you know. So that was sometimes, you know. But you know what? It was okay. So I get out of high school. We all get through high school. He believed in education, and so we all went to parochial school, and we all suffered from the Catholic guilt. And I remember going, you know, to get my first job, and oh no, you better go to school. So I enrolled at LACC. Yeah, I know, I'm going way back, you know. And by the way, every other child was born in a hospital, and I got to be born at home. You know where the music center is, downtown LA? Well, that's where I was born, about a block down. It wasn't the music center, but, you know, at the time. But let's see, where was I? Oh, I got to read the manual now. I'm trying to remember. Okay, so... So my dad was drinking a lot. He used to work nights, and he used to have a part-time day job and all this kind of stuff. He, during his regular job, he worked for Oscar Mayer and did refrigeration and all that. And during weekends, he'd go down to the Biltmore and be a busboy, et cetera, et cetera. Anything to bring the money. And so I kind of admire that today. You know, he was responsible. Even though he was drinking, he was responsible. So one night... He didn't come home, and by that time I had gotten a job for LAPD, and I used to answer the calls, you know, when they're out. Do you remember? Oh, I'm going to really date myself. They had the box with the key on the corner, and they would go and use the phone. I know, you'll see it in the movies. Don't worry. And yeah, you know, it's okay. I shouldn't tell that part of my story. Anyway, so when you answer those calls, when you're not busy, you go and file. And so I got to file my dad's first DUI. Yeah. And you know what? When I reflect on it and I tell people, I'm going like, oh, I guess I should be embarrassed or something. No, I'm glad he's safe. He's downstairs, you know. Maybe I should go visit him. But anyway, okay, so that happens. You would think that maybe we would have a conversation the next day, maybe. You know, just a little, hey, Dad, you know, by the way, I was at the station with, nope, never talked about it. Nope, it's a secret, you know. There starts, as always, you know, the secrets. So anyway, my mom used to cry a lot when she cried. Oh, she used to cry a lot when she drank. And so she came here, you know, as a young lady and wanted to go back to her home back in Tabasco. And Tabasco's way south of Mexico, above the Yucatan Peninsula. So I always resented, why don't you just take mom there, you know? But how do you do that with six kids, you know, and working two jobs, etc.? So anyway, both hardworking parents, but they drank. My mom ended up, this is pre-Al-Anon, I want to remind you, because it was pretty crazy. My mom used to sew, and she did an excellent job and all that sort of thing. So anyway, I did lose my train of thought. This is before Al-Anon. So anyway, my mom got really sick. And I was already out of the house, I was married, and I thought, you know, if I take my mom out to lunch, she's gonna stop drinking. If I take her to the nursery, she loved gardening, she's gonna stop drinking. If I take the kids over more often, all of that stuff, you know, that I didn't know that, you know, we can't really have control over them. I don't know how many of you have learned it, but it took me years, you know. So anyway, my poor mom, she got cirrhosis of the liver. And so by this time, I'm married to the, and I can't call him an alcoholic because those of you that are new, we're not here to diagnose, and we've been told that, right? We do not diagnose. Well, his drinking bothered me. You know, like the literature, does somebody's drinking bother you? No, it pisses the hell out of me. I'm telling you, it was just horrible. So we had planned a vacation, and so the doc, she was in the hospital, and the doctor said, you know, your mom may not make it. And so I went home, told my husband, and he says, well, you know, we planned this vacation, and the kids are going to be disappointed. Now, had I been in Al-Anon, let me tell you what the response would have been. But I wasn't. And I said, oh, okay. You know, I was a really, oh, yeah, okay, you know. So anyway, so we got in the car. We were driving to Illinois. He's from Illinois. And it was really, really sad because the day after we got there, I got the call that my mom had passed away. And I was just so saddened. And I, when I think about it now, that I didn't have any guts to say, hey, guess what? I'm not going. And the kids are staying here. Adios, have a good time, and get a one-way ticket, buddy. You know, but I wouldn't have said that. But I would have made a different choice. So this is the insanity. I'm in Illinois, I get on a plane, I fly home to go to the funeral, and get on a plane and go back to enjoy my vacation. It was total insanity. I said, who does that? Who does that, you know? So anyway, but that's what I did, and that's what it was like, you know? So, I mean, whatever he said, I mean, isn't the alcoholic always right? Of course they are. So anyway, boy, I'm telling you, I came in these rooms really crawling. So by this time, I'm getting pretty tired of the drinking. It's you know, and I think I have mentioned before, you know, we have three kids, and I'm going like, I'm sure when we have our first child, he's going to stop drinking. I'm sure. And so, I'm sure, since it was a boy, I'm sure he wants a girl. So that's, we had a girl. And I didn't even plan on it. But anyway, and then we had the third one. So anyways, all these ideas, I'm sure this is going to make him stop drinking, isn't it? Okay, so he doesn't, of course. And I was pretty tired. I would go to church and ask the ladies, oh, please pray, you know, I want my husband to stop drinking, you know. I'm just wondering if they ever put it in the bulletin and I missed it, you know. Pray for Maria's husband. So anyway, I was pretty broken. I was pretty upset. Dysfunction all over. You know, the kids, our son went to, well, they all went through parochial school, one very near here. And, you know, don't ever let anybody tell you that they're better than anybody else, or, you know, they don't drink there, or they don't do drugs there. Mm. So anyway, we had a bargain, or I had a bargain with him. If you're going to drink, please do not drive home. Please do not drive home. So anyway, that only happened a couple of times. And here's, you know, don't drink and drive like Dad does, okay? I never said that because I have learned from somebody else, you don't, you know, nag, scold, and complain about the dad in front of the kids. Drop that down. So anyway, so I didn't. But that was just another, it was just adding, it was just piling up. It was my, the kids don't do as I do as I say type thing, you know, and it was just crazy making. So, and we were watching a movie one time, it was an untreated Al-Anon mom, and the young kid was driving his dad to the bars, and he was just learning to drive, and he had an accident, and I said, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that's never happened to us. And my son goes, well, I didn't tell you, you know, the other day. I wonder where mom is, you know, in a hole in a cave somewhere, you know, just trying to deny all this thing happening. So finally, this one lady at that church meeting that said, you know, Maria, have you ever heard of Al-Anon? And I said, no, I haven't. And she goes, maybe you might like to go, you know, sometime. And I got information. She never went with me. If I ask somebody to go, I will go with them, you know, especially somebody new. So anyway, so I said, oh no, I'll try it, you know, by this time, I'll try anything, you know. And I used to make him his meatloaf, he loves meatloaf, and put his name on it with potato chips, you know, or Fritos, you know, maybe that'll make him stop drinking. Anyway, be creative cooking, you know. So. Anyway, yeah, I look back on these things and, you know, they're funny now, but I don't think so. Anyway, here we go. We're off to Al-Anon, and I went to the next city because I wanted to make sure I didn't see anybody I knew. You know, God forbid somebody, probably everybody already knew he was drinking, right? And we would go to the soccer field, and I was going to talk to the coach, you know, and say, you know, have you noticed, you know, I didn't want to say, you know, my husband's probably breathing on these kids and they're going to get, you know, intoxicated with his breath or something, you know. I tried everything. I went to the doctor. I went to our doctor and I said, oh, can you do something about my husband? You know, God saved me, I'm going to tell you, because I took photos. See, his face is broken out, see? And his, you know, he really drinks a lot. Is there, and he says, it's the good thing I didn't have my new phone because I would have taken a video. And this is what he's like when he came in the door, you know, and after drinking. Anyway, he says, no, if he comes and asks for, you know, help, I will do that. You know, I will do something. So he didn't. Of course he didn't. But anyway, I was there with my picture, see, and he looked, oh. So anyway. Anyway, lot of insanity. And I'm still a little bit crazy. So, anyway, so I went to the meeting and I took a little pad, just a little one. I didn't want to be obvious. I didn't know what you guys were going to do, you know, and a pencil. And at that time, at that meeting, you had to go, newcomers had to go to 3 newcomer meetings. You didn't join the rest for after, until you, I don't know, did they keep attendance? I have no idea. You know, I didn't carry my manual around at that time. So anyway, I said, okay, so I am listening, and I'm waiting for them to tell me how to get the alcoholic sober, for God's sake, you know? And so do you know what? They never did. And I said, well, I was wondering, you know, is there something that you suggest? And see, I wasn't hearing. I couldn't hear anything. I don't think I heard anything for a couple of years. Didn't want to. I was, poor me, you know, listen, I'm living with this alcoholic or this man that drinks too much, and I've got 3 kids, and they're going here, and they're going there, and I'm poor me. And so, so anyway, she says, oh, come back, dear. Come to the next meeting. You know how they say that. Somebody says, oh, do keep coming back, you know. So, and guess what? I heard that. So I did come back. I did come back. So I'm so grateful for that. And so so I continued going there, and I did listen to the people on the other side, and they're laughing. So I said, they don't know about alcoholism. Uh-uh. They wouldn't be laughing. I mean, what are they saying? So it made me want to come back because I wanted to go to the other side and listen to what they were saying. That was just so darn funny. And so, anyway, you know what? I have to say, when I walked in the rooms, there was a welcoming. There was just a welcoming sense of, you know, come on in, you know, go ahead, write your notes if you want to. A lot of people write notes today, but I was unique in those days because I had a tiny little one I wanted to put. It's a good thing, I tell you, I didn't have my phone so I could write down all the notes. So, anyway, I kept coming back, and slowly, very slowly. Oh, and I didn't tell my husband where I was going. I'm just going, I'm going out. I'm going out. So anyway, so he found out I was going. So my full intention when I walked in those rooms was to tell them, if he doesn't stop drinking, I'm getting a divorce. And I already had planned it. I already was absolutely, without a doubt, you know, defined divorce. So I go over there, and they say, oh, you don't make any major changes in your life for 6 months. What? You know, do I have to live 6 more months with him? Oh my gosh. So anyway, I tried my very best, working the program, etc., you know, listening, reading literature, and it was 8 years that I gave him time off for his bad behavior. I said, I gotta go, this is done. You know, adios, thank you for the kids. You know, we're done, we are done. And that was with 8 years. of Al-Anon. But the good thing is that I stayed because I found out that there were a few things wrong with me. Just a few, that I could probably clear up in 6 months, you know. I asked three people, I don't think I've ever said this when I've talked, I've asked three people to be my sponsor. All three of them said yes, and said no. And I said, do I look that bad? I mean, is it my hair, or is it, you know, do I look? So anyway, but the last one said, I'll be your friend. So it was with her that I did a lot of the footwork with the steps and talking and reasoning it out. Found out this fabulous phone list that you have. But you know that phone, it's 500 pounds. Very hard to pick up when you're new, right? So, yeah. So anyway, but I kept coming back, and I kept hearing about service. I kept hearing about, you can go to more than one meeting a week. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? And so I said, oh, okay. You know, the recovery in these rooms is so amazing. And I hear the wisest things from newcomers. I do. I hear the wisest things from newcomers. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Have to keep coming back. Have to keep coming back. So I got into the rooms. I got into the rooms of Al-Anon. And I wanted to get my three teenagers, well, one was a preteen or a teenage, and, I have to tell you, I was instructed, don't make any rash decisions, you know, think it over, talk to people, you know, just don't do a spontaneous on an emotional, I want a divorce. No, not the way to do it. So I had to really say, okay, I have a part-time job. I need to go to a full-time job. I had Seventh Tradition, very much, you know, I listened to all of you talk about that, self-supporting through your own voluntary contributions. I mean, I did listen to some things, you know, especially the keep coming back. So so I was so glad that I could stay. And I was so glad that nobody said, don't do this, do this. You know, if you do this, you know, no. Everybody was totally understanding, totally understanding of my situation. They understood what I was going through, absolutely. So anyway, I kept coming back, picked up my meetings, worked with a sponsor, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, you know, that poor man, you know, I nagged, scolded, and complained. I threw liquor down the drain, all that stuff, and I didn't know that's not what you're supposed to do. And then I hardly heard, take the focus off of him and put it where you do have some power over your own life. So you know what? Step one, my life was unmanageable. You bet. It was a shipwreck, a train wreck, anything, a 10-car train wreck. So that was easy. That was easy. And I wanted to be restored to sanity. I absolutely wanted to be restored to sanity. And I knew, and because I did have an awesome God, well, I developed an awesome God, because the God I had was very strict and very punishing. And all kinds of things. So that's the one I grew up with. So in Al-Anon, I got the loving God, the awesome loving God that, I just thought, oh my goodness, this is the God of my understanding, my higher power. So, and in the meantime, the alcoholic is doing what he's doing. And you know, my mother-in-law, when I made my amends to her, I had to make a written amends, because she really wasn't talking to me. And so then I think about it now, you know, because he went to live with her. And then I thought, you know, my daughter-in-law sent my son Ben, I'd probably be mad at her too and not talk to her, you know. But anyway, so it was really, really hard. It was really, that part was hard, because prior to all this, we had had a good relationship. So I tried my best. And we did have a face-to-face, And it was very light, you know, very light. But the amends, but living amends for sure. So anyway, so he's doing his thing, and I have no idea what that is because I'm not really keeping up on him. By now, I've taken the focus off of him. And the kids loved seeing him, and they went to see him, and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And I continued my life. You know, I continued my life because that's what I needed to do. And I needed to be happy within myself and be okay with the choices that I had made. So that's what I did, you know, continued in this program. And the people in this fellowship, they're so wonderful. Nowhere else do you get the support that I got in this fellowship, you know. But, you know, sometimes they say, don't get rid of your old friends, you know, because if you want somebody to co-sign your grand boo, you know, you just go ask them, and they'll say, oh, you poor thing, yeah, you shouldn't put up with that, you know. You ask an Al-Anon friend, and they're going to say, oh, yeah, what's your part in it, you know, or what are you doing, you know, what are you doing, you know. So, anyway. So I just continued. I continued learning, and so the two girls went to Alateen, and in fact, it wasn't too far from here that we went to this church, and you know, here I am. Oh, yeah, I don't want to tell you about all my defects, but I do have a little few control issues, but they're really minor now. They've really decreased. You know, if you look at the Excel chart, it's really come down a lot. You know. And so I said to my daughter, well, what did they say to you? Mom, she said we don't have to discuss what we talked about. That's my little smart aleck woman. I said, okay, all right, that's fine. And you know, you look at my kids today, really, they look normal. They really almost look, you know, I go, wow, you'd never know, you know, what they, my son's in law enforcement. I don't tell people, but you know, if you ever have somebody stop you for drunk driving and they say, pull over, sleep it off, or give the wheel to somebody else, that's probably my son. Yeah, I said, you did what? He said he only did it once, but I hope so. I said he's been affected by the disease of alcoholism, you know. But anyway, doesn't do patrol anymore. His uniform doesn't fit. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's outside issue. Outside issue. Anyway, yeah, just a long line. And I always tell everybody about my sarcasm. I was terribly sarcastic. And I keep saying it was genetic. I got it from my dad. He was terribly sarcastic. And it's not a fun thing. And this book, oh, One Day at a Time, I brought it. And see how nice and covered it is? Because, you know, parochial school, you have to cover it. Anyway, one day at a time. And it has a page on there on being sarcastic. Did you know that? And it means, it's a Greek word that means to tear flesh. And when I read that, honest to God, my sarcasm decreased tremendously. And you know, somebody, my husband, said the other day, oh, that was sarcastic. And I go, that was not sarcastic. I'm telling you, you want sarcastic? That may have been sarcastic light. Because I don't do sarcastic anymore. I really don't. You know why? Because we come in these rooms and we talk about the hurt people. You know, what we experience, maybe we have to go to work, right? And so I remember going to work, my eyes were swollen, and somebody goes, oh, you know, wet tea bags will help the swelling go down. So I go, oh, great. Are you an Al-Anon? I said, oh, I don't know. I had something happen. You know, excuses all the time. And so, but anyway, this program makes me so aware. You cannot help but walk out your door and go, I'm going to be good to my fellow human being. I have no idea what they've been through that night, that morning, or rushing children, you know, to nursery school. And, I was fortunate enough at that time, anyway, to be able to stay home until, you know. But, so I'm going to be nice. Nothing's going to come out of my mouth that isn't, that I wouldn't want to hear, you know. So, and that's all the result of this program. the care, the love, the support, you know, and being with people in service and hearing what they say, you know, what they say about what happened to them and what they did, you know. So it's been a learning process over and over and over and over. So what has happened? Well, I already told you how I got there and where I am today. So I want to talk a little bit about service, because that's one of my favorite things, you know, and I could read all the concepts, because you know our logo. You know, our logo is recovery through the steps and unity through the traditions and service through the concepts. And that's our Al-Anon logo, so it's all three, and you don't want to be off balance. So I got into service, you know, with the coffee or maybe the literature and all this, and I've been in service beyond the group level, and I don't know if Willie's here, but you know, in Al-Anon, there you are. In Al-Anon, when you serve beyond the group level, and he's gone, you know, way beyond the group level, Al-Anons go on and on and on, you know, when there's going to be a change in the literature, or there's going to be a change in anything, and it goes, the other day our group rep reported something, and I go, oh my gosh, that was 6 years ago, I think, when I was, they made a decision, oh good. So, things are taken seriously, particularly when it comes to the literature. You know, we don't copy literature just because our eyesight, as we advance in age, or as I advance in age, you know, the eyesight, and I go, well, too bad, there are books that have them with bigger print. But, you know, just all kinds of things. And so going to World Service, going to, I went to the convention in Philadelphia. And so that was wonderful, because that's where you get the real sense of a worldwide fellowship. You know, you're meeting people from Australia, from England, and I mean all over the place, you know, from India. And I tell the story about the lady who said they were starting in India, the Al-Anon, and she said, you know, our men don't like us to go out to these meetings. And I said, I have news for you, our men don't like us to go out. You know, it doesn't, well, I mean, a certain group of wonderful men. So anyway, so I continue to learn as I stay in this program, and service has been certainly a big part of it. And my service sponsor, I have a service sponsor, and she was on one of my committees, and I was telling her, oh, I think I was being too controlling. And she goes, well, in service, our character defects blossom and flourish, you know, and it's so true, you know, let's do it my way, let's do it my way, you know, it's the better way, right? Isn't it? Always. So, as I said, I continue to be in service, and I continue to be in service now, even if it's not, and I believe definitely in rotation of leadership. So I'm not one to say, oh, you're the secretary this time, okay, you can be treasurer next time, or you can be, yeah, that's, oh yeah, I forgot to say the opinions expressed here are strictly those of the person who gave them. But you know, that's rotation of leadership when everybody gets a turn to be a service and give back. And that's the biggest gift that I can give, because I have received so much. Today, my adult children, my biggest thing right now is minding my own business. I do not run their lives. I tell you, I gave it a good try. They're married, they have kids, we have, I have to tell you, the alcoholic came back into my life. Oh, very important part. The alcoholic came back into my life. He's got 26 years of sobriety. And we remarried. We remarried. Oh, I should really talk about that, shouldn't I? You know, my friend Teresa drove with me, and she hears all the stories, you know, and we reason it out, and it's kind of fun, you know, carpooling to the meeting. But Anyway, so my husband comes back. He wants to continue our marriage. And this is, I'm telling you, years later, okay? Years later, you know. And so I said, well, you know, yes, but you know, the counseling and, you know, and how about meetings, you know. And there's a page in the book that says, oh, now he's not at the bars, he's out at meetings. That's him. He's out at meetings. But it's okay. I love the alcohol. I do. Sometimes I don't like them, but I do. You know, I love the alcohol. And so, you know, we used to camp up in Dew Lake. I don't know how many of you go camping with an alcoholic, but when... is that a slip? I guess that's a slip. And you know, there's so much beer and liquor in the cooler. You know, oh yeah, we should take food. Although we got the three kids, so some trips were good. We saw a lot, but it was just kind of miserable, you know. So we were. This is after we were thinking about our reconciliation, and we drove up to June Lake. Now, June Lake was one of the scenes of the crime, and it was miserable, okay? So I had not made my amends to him, okay? He made his amends to me, but I just, you know, I still had this little, okay, yeah, I do. Yeah, I have to do it. I had to do it. So, and we were up in June Lake, and I, you know, made my amends and told him there were a lot of things that I had done wrong, you know. I'm not like that person that once said, you know, they make a coffee pot and they are waiting for the amends to stretch out for the next 2 or 3 hours, you know. And, no. So, he almost fell into the lake, you know, because he really was surprised. And I thought, haven't I changed? Look at me, haven't I changed? But anyway, so we've had some good times during our reconciliation, and we've had not such good times, you know, maybe old stuff coming up. And so I've learned, you know, yeah, I can go for a walk. I can say, hey, I'm going to the mall for a week. Do you want to come along? You know, or something just to, you know, detach. And somebody made up a thing, the newest detach. Don't even think about changing him or her, you know. And I thought, this is the guy. I've known him since I was 17, 18. Can you imagine me, 17 or 18, and I'm now thinking, gee, I wonder if he'll make the bed a little bit better, you know. I mean, come on, you know. All these little slogans attached to my refrigerator. How important is it, you know? How important is it, you know? Attitude of gratitude. I bought a sign. I think I should put a fluorescent one in front of my house, you know? And, you know, he's a very quiet guy. A lot of you know him. He's very quiet, you know? So I was trying to go like, come on, cheer up, buddy. You're with me, you know? So anyway, so I got this stepping stone, a heart stepping stone, and I had to paint it, and it said, enter with a happy heart. And I thought, oh, he missed it again today. So anyway, so then I thought, maybe I need to enter that way and start reading it, you know. And I buy this flag, be happy, you know, isn't that cute with a beep, you know. Anyway, he doesn't get it. Anyway, he's an all right guy. Today I saw somebody and I said, oh, I didn't know if you knew we were reconciled. And he said, hey, he's a good guy, you know, he is. I said, I know, he is, you know, he is, I agree. Yeah. So anyway, no, he is a good man. He definitely is a good man, you know. So anyway, we share a lot. And you know, it was very, very important for me to have the family unit back. And I've sat in these rooms for years and years, and I've heard stories. I remarried and and then I did this and I so I was listening. So I thought, well, you know, I do love him, even though when I divorced, it wasn't a play thing, because there's another little brochure. I read Detail. attached forever, all the time, you know. And so, don't make threats you don't intend to carry out. So it wasn't, I'm going to divorce you every day. It wasn't that at all. It was like one time, I've made a decision, you know, I don't want to live like this anymore. And I will never, never tell anybody, oh, get a divorce if you can't stand it. Oh, no, don't do it. I would never, never, because that's not what this program is about. We do not tell people what to do. We can share our experience, strength, and hope. But anyway, with the reconciliation, it was absolutely, for me, very important to have the family unit back together, you know, our kids, and we have really enjoyed that. We have 8 grandchildren, you know, and I still, the other day I said something to my son, you know what Dad did, and I don't usually do this, you know, but it was a weak moment, and I said, you know what Dad did, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, and you married him twice. So I said, okay, just zip it, you know, I gotta be, just tell my Al-Anon friends, you know, instead of, you know, kids that are going to. So, you know, they're adults. Our children are grown, they're adults. And I do get bugged because this child needs tutoring. When are you going to take him to tutoring? You know? Or this one needs this. And so I don't do that anymore. Guess what? I'm letting them raise their own kids. Isn't that nice? Jot that down. Let your children raise their own kids, you know. And so I will be there to be of service when needed, absolutely, because that's what I like doing. But this other stuff was making me crazy. I'm going like, don't they know? Don't they know, you know, a little bit better. So anyway, so I've been blessed. We've been blessed. And I'm not going to take up my whole time, you know, unless you want me to read the manual. But, you know, there's a page in the Survival to Recovery that's a very favorite reading of mine. And, you know, and here's another little thing that it refers to the gifts of the program. Oh, I can tell you, Betty was there at the Foothill Roundup when a young lady, I hope she's not here, took a picture of, you know, the archives, and it's a letter to the alcoholic. Well, that the archives, that's not conference-approved literature, so I said, excuse me, I'm trying not to be controlling or bossy, but I have to speak up when, you know, if you have the knowledge, you have the responsibility. So I said, oh, what are you going to do with that? Oh, I'm going to take it to my meeting, and we're going to take a group conscience to start reading it. And I said, but that's not conference-approved literature. And so she says, well, we can take a group conscience that says that we can blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, everything that we do is according to the manual, right? Or we try very hard to do as the manual is, states in the manual. So anyway, she went off in a huff, and I felt very bad because I don't like to go to meetings and be the Al-Anon police, but I'll send you a memo later. Just kidding, no. But no, I don't like to do that, but I will mention if I see something grossly wrong, because we don't want to dilute our Al-Anon program. The Al-Anon program is so important for me, and right now, so far, my kids don't need it. But, you know, my grandkids may, who knows? I don't want the Al-Anon program diluted. So if we don't speak up, then, you know, oh, we're just going to copy this. Oh, we're just going to do this. So anyway, it has, a whole article was written in the forum about the gifts of the program. They are not gifts. It can be referred to as your favorite reading, or it could be, you know, something you particularly like. And so that's what I say. It's something I particularly like, and I do read it quite frequently because one of the first page, I think it's on page 257 in the new revised and 269 in the, it's a really tough, I don't know how many of you have read Survival to Recovery, it's a tough book to read. But anyway, but the last pages get better. But anyway, it says if we willingly surrender ourselves to the spiritual discipline of the 12 steps, our lives will be transformed. Now, the new revision says can be transformed, but I believe will be transformed is what happens to most of us if we continue to stay in these rooms. Because once you hear and understand and work the steps, there's just, you know, this program for me has gotten tattooed on my heart, and there's no way I can walk out of my house without having, you know, this program on my mind or the principles of this program. And my early morning meditation is, you know, on my knees. Part of it is on my knees because that's the third step, not third step, but turning my will and my life over to the care of God. I got to find out what He wants me to do that day, you know. And it doesn't mean I don't make plans. It doesn't mean I don't make plans, but it does mean I do the footwork and I leave the results to God. You know, one of the times when I was, when my husband was on his time off, my daughter eloped. I was so unhappy. I was so unhappy because I wanted to go, you know, dress shopping with her, and I wanted to do this, and I wanted to tell her how we were going to do it, you know. See, I wasn't quite recovered yet. And so then somebody said, didn't you say you wanted to go to Europe, you know? And I said, yeah. I said, oh, good. Why spend money on a wedding when I can go to Europe, you know? So you know what? Nobody else would have said that to me. A family member wouldn't have said that to me. I was so heartbroken. And you know what? I did go to Europe. I had a reception all on my own, you know. This is drink to you, you know. Your new wedding, you know. So anyway, things happen. That's their story. My kids have their story. And each one, you know, rebelled in a certain way because, hey, you guys are so messed up and so screwed up. You know, this is what I'm going to do. And I understand it now. And everything, you know, happens for a reason. And what do I get to learn from it? That's what the program says. What do I get to learn? And do I want to repeat it? Do I want to repeat this again? No, I don't, you know. And so it's very funny because I think the kids notice that when I'm going to say something, like my son will give me a look like you're not going to say anything, are you? No, I wouldn't think of it, you know. And the other day, I do have my slips. See, I'm turning myself in. I do have my slips because my daughter, my granddaughter, she let her go to the mall with a boy, 16, and I said, oh my God, you know. So somebody said, well, how old were you? Oh, I don't know, probably 15. No, but anyway, so see, and she gave me the little, like, Mom, I know what I'm doing. Oh, really? Okay. So anyway, they've all worked hard, all three kids, so they've worked hard. So I'm proud of them. But anyway, so the last sentence of that paragraph says that we will suddenly see these gifts appearing. And that is so true, because as I go through my day or as I go through my months and I do something differently, that is a gift. You know, when I'm able to keep my mouth shut and not respond, that is a gift, right? So so I said, okay, progress, not perfection. And I've never told anybody I was perfect. No one. So I have to keep coming back into these rooms and hearing you remind me, you know, of the steps, remind me of the traditions, remind me of the concepts and all the slogans, you know, that think, for example, it's think. It's not think, 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 you know, because the alcoholic drinks, we think, and that's so dangerous. I can create a story in a minute, a really good story, too. I was telling my friend I had some headaches and, you know, I was getting dizzy, and it's never a headache, it's a tumor that's fast growing, you know. And so I get very creative. But the good thing is, I'm in Al-Anon, and so I, you know, it's a shorter time, it's brief. You know, it's not like, oh, it, you know, the times before, goes on for a week or 2 weeks or a month, and you know, or the not talking or the arguing and all that. And like currently with my husband and I, and so I call it our defensive dialogue during our intense moments of fellowship, you know? And and I'm going like, but it doesn't last like it used to last, you know? And so I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade my life today, really. So anyway, I just want to thank you again, Mike, for inviting me to speak. And let me see. Oh, it's 10 more minutes, so that's all right, though. And I don't need to read the manual. You know, the service manual is so underused because I told our literature person the other day, oh, you ought to order several, you know, because we need to refer to it all the time. Not all the time. But anyway, so thank you so much. You guys have a great group here. Oh, my gosh. I still think they should. Part A, part B, but, anyway, thank you for asking me to speak.
Let's thank our speaker again. When I was seeing Maria, was the first one of the first days he said, keep coming back. Thank you, Maria. I love you. All right, would